You and I, who never was perfect, shall be someday. Never was perfect. And I'm going to tell you, I've been serving God long enough to know that even in our best state, we still are leaky vessels and we lose much of what God puts in us. And we need to be filled over and over and over again with the Lord's Spirit and with the good Word of God. Amen. That we might be changed. I don't know if there's too many folks really want to be changed. I wonder if we're not pretty satisfied with where we are in our Christian life, our Christian pilgrimage, our spiritual growth, our maturity. I'm afraid for the most part, many Baptists have forgotten that are saved that they're spiritual beings.
Amen.
For we walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh.
Amen.
And a lot of Baptists prove to me that they're just the opposite because they have fulfilled the lusts of the flesh.
Amen.
Have great affection for those lusts. That's right. God help us to walk in the Spirit and be spiritual people. Be heavenly minded. Don't get so heavenly minded. I had a preacher one time say, well, I know some folks that are so heavenly minded they're no earthly good. I'm going to tell you, I've never found anybody that way.
Amen.
I've seen some that thinks they're that heavenly minded.
Amen.
But I've never found any that's ever gotten that far along with God yet. All right, Song of Solomon again this morning, chapter number 5. And we're going to continue our study there on the subject we've been at the last couple of weeks. I'll mention that again in just a moment. Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. And let's stand together, please, at verse number 14 once again. Chapter 5 and verse number 14. I ask you to pray for me this morning. Preaching on the thought that I'm preaching on in a low-key service is not the most pleasant experience that a man of God will ever face. But nonetheless, that's what I've been called on today, and so we'll do our best at it. Verse number 14, the bride is here, or the bride is here describing her heavenly bridegroom to the daughters of Jerusalem. Young converts who have yet grown far enough along in grace to really admire the beauty of the Lord. Somebody said, well, I got all that when I got saved. No, I'm going to tell you, you knew you were a sinner going to hell and rejoiced in the fact that you escaped hell. But I'm going to tell you, the longer you serve Him, you'll rejoice over what He is. More than really in delivering you from hell. Our praise is, brethren, is in Him. That's right, in Him. And our thankfulness ought to be in Him. And we ought to love Him for what He is. You see, you will see Him as your deliverer, but the longer you serve Him, you will see Him in all of His majestic glory and beauty. And if He ever overwhelms you as He that sitteth upon the throne, I'll tell you, your life will be changed for an eternity, friend. Amen. Amen to God. If you ever see Him as very God, very God,
amen.
Very God.
Yes,
I'm going to run that by you again. Very God.
Amen.
Dying for you.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Verse number 14. His hands are as gold rings set with a beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of that word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the morning hour. I thank You for the Sunday school hour, the good word there. Thank You for the good truths and instruction we receive, the blessing from it. I pray now, Father, that You'd help us in the preaching service. Lord, would You please open this text up to our hearts. Help us to behold great and wondrous things out of Thy law. Father, as Sister Hall sang this morning, please change us. Please change us this day. I'm tired of being stirred without ever being changed. Change me, O God. and help me today as I move along in grace to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. Help me to go along my way singing, Lord, because of the song that God has put in my heart. Help me, I pray, to overcome this world by my faith. And Lord, to live with great expectations of the future in my soul. I pray that you'll help me, Lord, to walk in the Spirit. Help me to overcome every temptation that the devil may present to me. I ask you, Lord, to help the people of God in this place today. Help those that are sick, those that are away from us. Give them mercy on the highways. Protect them. Those, Lord, that are in our midst this morning sick, I pray for them. But do give us grace in the upcoming meeting now, and may the Spirit of God manifest forth the Lord Jesus in our midst, that we might glory in Him, and we'll thank You and praise You for all that You do and every sinner You save. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. The Bible said in the last part of verse number 14, His belly is as bright ivory, overlaid with sapphires. I want to preach again this morning with God's help on Christ and His abundant life. Amen. Over the past 2 weeks, this will make the third week, we have been comparing this verse of Scripture to the abundant life that Christ gives those that He came to redeem. Amen. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, He said, I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. That Christian life, for those of us that have a real spiritual appetite, is beyond measure. I want to say, friend, unless you have a spiritual appetite, you'll never really realize how wonderful of life that Christ has provided for us. I'm talking about crucifying ourselves, amen, that we might live in the perfect will of God. I tell you, have joy unspeakable and full of glory when you can say, as the Lord Jesus said in the book of Hebrews, I've come to do Thy will, O God. In the volume of the book it is written of me that I've come to do Thy will, O God. And if you can ever find that perfect will and find perfect peace in your heart, you will realize that His life, His abundant life, is beyond measure. Somebody said, Preacher, how far will we have to grow in grace until we get there? I don't know, friend. I've not got there yet. In fact, I've never talked to any Christian that would be fool enough to say that I've attained unto the heights that Christ would want me to accomplish. And neither have I plunged to the depths of the grace of God and swam in His grace there. For the grace of God is beyond measure. His love for you and I is beyond measure this morning. It is an unchanging and undying love that God has given to you and I. And He's promised us great and precious promises in that Bible that I'm afraid that many of us have never laid hold to. Thank God for the promises of God that we can, through this book, lay hold upon and have that abundant life in the Lord Jesus. Now, I begin by saying that this life will have its origin in answered prayer. I want to reiterate that again, my friend. You will never know what it means to live abundantly until you have your prayers answered. I'm glad that we've got a prayer answering God. His hand is not shortened that He cannot save, and God's ear is not heavy that He cannot hear. Amen to God. But He can answer our prayers this morning. Ask and receive. Amen to God. Seek and you'll find. Knock on a few doors and let God open those doors behind. Amen for you. Because behind one of those doors will be that life that you've been looking for. I'm telling you, friend, I spent my life, a whole lot of my life, I should say, living in sin
and my life was absolutely meaningless. It was void of Christ. I had no happiness. I had no joy. I had no destination in life. But oh my, there came a Sunday morning when I heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus, which is the power of God unto salvation. And it was there in a little old Southern Baptist church that I first realized what it meant to have a life in Christ. I've been a servant in Brother Doug these 30 years, and he's proven to me in 30 years that the life he started on that Sunday morning is truly an abundant life. Son, it's an overflowing life. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. I tell you, there's nothing like a living for God. The devil the world can have, the devil and his crowd, but son, give me Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than to be a king of a vast domain. Brother, he's given me a life this morning that I wouldn't trade with anybody in the world. It has been an abundant life. It's been a good trip, and by the grace of God, I'm going through. Hallelujah to God.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Now I've learned what it means to pray. That's right, and trust God to answer prayers.
Amen.
That's right. And then I said that the second thought on that was abundant power. You'll never live the life that He wants you to until you tap in to God's abundant power.
Amen.
He's able to do exceeding abundantly above anything that we might ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Somebody said, "Preacher, I don't understand how the power of God works." I don't either. I don't understand how that plug-in over there works. But I got enough sense to know if these lights are burning and that breaker box over there has got a breaker in it, and I've got a wire from that breaker to that plug. If I plug in a vacuum cleaner, son, she's going to run. If I plug in my coffee pot, it's going to perk. If I plug in my radio, it's going to talk to me. Now, I'm telling you, friend, if you plug in to the power of God, it'll light up your life. It'll give you a charge, amen, and help you live in this life where you can overcome temptation and sin and have joy unspeakable in your heart and full of glory and have a life that is worth living.
Amen.
Some folks' lives are so dull. It's like that old commercial, a whole humdrum day. Nothing ever changes.
Amen.
There's nothing anything exciting happens. We go to work and we come home from work and we eat supper and we lay down on the bed or the couch and become a couch potato, and nothing ever happens to bring any joy and excitement to our life.
Amen.
God help you, friend.
Amen.
I'm glad that the Lord renews His blessings on me every day. Oh yeah, there's never a dull day of serving God. Never a dull day, never a dull moment. Life is abundant in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the life that He's given me to live. Now I'm going to preach on something this morning. Bless God, and we need it in here today. Answered prayers. Abundant power. Now get a hold of your little jawbones and pull your lips back, because you'll never live abundantly without having a little abiding joy down in your heart. Oh, as a little old boy in Bible school, I knew that Jesus came and born in a manger and died and rose again, and we used to sing that little old song. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart, down in my heart to stay. And I wonder where in the year 2001 that joy has went to. I'm afraid, my friend, that it has crept out of our lives and been replaced with a sad, sorrowful spirit. And the Bible said that I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And that abundant life includes having a little bit of joy about you and your servant. Amen. Abide in joy. Now, don't nobody leave me now.
Now, I'll be as quickly as I can. Some of you look pale around the face. Some of you hadn't laughed so long, if you grinned, your face would crack. Now, you hadn't smiled so long, if you smiled, your face would break. Smile a while, son. Give your face a rest. But somebody said, Preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. I'm going to tell you what Brother Peter said. He said, for the same things are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Oh, yeah, we're all out of the same mold, Adam's Lord, and we all live in the same world, and everybody does know exactly what you're going through.
Amen.
Or they've either went through it or getting ready to go through it. There is no temptation but such as is common to man. But God, who is faithful, will with the same temptation also make a way of escape. Oh, yes, I know what you're going through.
Amen.
And especially if you're younger than I am, I know what you're going through.
Amen.
Now, if you've got a few years on me, you may have some experiences on me that I ain't got.
Right.
Now, I'm going to tell some of you young bucks, some of you might as well mark her down. Get ready, you're going through menopause just like women. Come on in the house, children. I won't show. Somebody said, Preacher, you're crazy. Oh, no, men have hot flashes just like women do. You get old one of these days, start having bad days just like women do. You'll be cross and cantankerous. Nothing anybody says. I mean, you'll criticize everything everybody says. And folks will wonder what's wrong with you. It's just the age bracket you've come to, sir. Ma'am, it's going to happen to all of it. But I'm glad, thank God, even going through that there is an inner peace that brings joy unspeakable, knowing that we know Christ and that our sins are under the blood of Calvary. Amen.
Amen.
Now, about in joy.
Amen.
Joy defined is this. Two things. Cheerfulness or calm delight.
Amen.
Cheerfulness or calm delight.
Amen.
It could be said that joy is that inner peace that sustains us in the time of, or maybe I should say, in the day of trouble.
Amen.
Now, I tell you, I marvel at how joy in the life of a Christian can sustain him, friend, in the day of trouble. Even when trouble comes, it may not be seen in our outward countenance, but there is something on the inside that makes our heart bubble over. I mean, for instance, when we lose a loved one who dies in the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about an infidel dying and going to hell.
Amen.
I'm talking about losing a loved one in the Lord.
Amen.
A friend on the outside, we're a-breaking, and our countenance may reveal the sorrow and the heartache that we experience in that day of trouble. But oh, I'm telling you, way down on the inside, there's a something, there is something a-moving on the inside. That even in that day of trouble, my friend will bring a calm delight that will bring a sweet peace to my soul and realize that He doeth all things well and that God is altogether the lovely one and His love that He loves me with is an unchanging love and He's bound to love me unto the end, even the end of the world. And I'm telling you, friend, that's the kind of joy that sustains my heart and gives me peace in the day of trouble.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, that's why some of you can't handle trouble. You don't have an ounce of joy. Hey, happiness.
Amen.
How happy are you today?
Amen.
Blessed is the man. Blessed is the poor in spirit.
Amen.
Blessed are the meek. Blessed are you. Oh yes, blessed are the peacemakers. That word simply means happy.
Right.
Happy, 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 happy. I wonder how happy you are this morning. I'm going to tell you something. If I measured the looks on your faces by happy on a happy scale this morning, some of you would bottom out. You would blow the bottom out of the thermometer.
Amen.
Huh? Where is that happiness? I know about an abundant life. You just might as well hold and I'm going to skin a little while. Amen to God. Ain't nobody in here had it so rough this week you couldn't come to church smiling.
That's right, man. Amen, preacher.
Amen. Let me ask catch something? Did you lose it over the week? Did you change your doctrine to Armenian? Did anybody here become a Methodist? Come on in half, children. Oh yeah, I'm fixing to give you some scripture. It could mean, it does mean cheerfulness or calm delight. It is that peace that sustains us in the day of trouble. Or now, it could mean by cheerfulness, a sudden outbreak, amen to God, a sudden outbreak of praise when the Spirit of God overwhelms our hearts with thoughts about the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you this morning, has He ever overwhelmed you with thoughts about Himself? I've said before, until for years I had to have my study in our living room or somewhere in our house where Miss Hall was right readily, handy. And especially when we was in Bible college. I'd sit out in that room at night and begin to study, and it got it over. I'd start thinking about Christ and what He's done for my life.
Amen.
Man, how I was dead in sin.
Amen.
A slave to the devil.
Amen.
Hopelessly wandering in the world. I had no hope of ever getting to heaven. And then think that and a little old, just a country boy, an insignificant, nobody, poor in this world, had no heritage, had no money, had no esteem. Amen. But there was a God in glory that loved my never dying soul. Came to where I was on that Sunday morning. I'm telling you, I'd sit in that room and thought about that, and I'd get to giggling and get to laughing. Miss Hall would say, What's wrong with you? After I told her a few times, she didn't ask such a stupid question no more. Son, she knew that the thoughts of my mind and heart was steadfast upon Christ.
Amen.
And what He had done upon Calvary, Brother Ray.
Amen.
Regardless of the sun's a shining or if the rain's a falling, if it's a cloudy day or a beautiful day, oh, it never changes Calvary. And it never changes His love for me. And His mercy is still real. And the salvation that He brought to my soul. And my friend is just as abundant when the clouds are rolling as it is when the sun is a-shining in my heart. What a joy. Amen to God. Now I'm going to have to hurry. My time's getting away. May I say to you, now buckle down now, that joy is found in the promises of God. Reason some of you don't know anything about that joy. You never read your Bible.
Amen.
You never read them enough.
Amen.
To know what God has got to say about given circumstances in your life.
Amen.
Huh? You can't live abundantly apart from the Bible and its promises. Peter said we've been made partaker of the divine nature through the promises of God.
Amen.
That's right. Now listen to this scripture. These things, Jesus said, have I spoken? I'm in the right place. In John 15:11. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, He said, my joy. You get a hold of this now. Folks, we don't live off our joy no more than we live off of our faith. We live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us, and for the joy that was set before Him. He despised the shame and is set down at the right hand of God. He has spoken this book to us that His joy might remain in us. It's not my joy and it's not your joy, but I live by the joy of the Son of God. Do you know that He rejoices in saving old sinners? He rejoiced in bringing you and I to God. He rejoices in being our great high priest. He rejoices in being our king. He rejoices in being our intercessor. He rejoiced when He purges our sin. It is His joy that ought to remain in you and I today.
Amen.
Amen. And then He said that your joy might be full.
Amen.
Promises. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Old brother John said in 1 John, boy, he knew or must knew a lot about joy.
Amen.
I think every quote that I've got come out of his scriptures this morning.
Amen.
He said in 1 John 1:4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. You know what he was writing about? Fellowship. You know what Jesus was writing about in John 15? Fellowship. Fellowship in the Word with God. Our brother Jerry walked up here today. I said, Brother Jerry, I miss you. I wish to God you was in church every service.
Amen.
He said, Brother Hall, I'm going to get a local job one of these days where I can be back in the house of God. And I said, pray for the people. I said, the church is in great need. I said, we're in a slump, Brother Jerry, and we need to hear from heaven.
Amen.
We need a breath to blow through this place where we can hear from heaven again. And Jerome said, a mouthful may not have known everything he said. But he said, preacher, I'm going to tell you why they don't have it when they come to the house of God. They don't have it at home. He said, they're not fellowshipping with God at home. Now, I'm here to tell you, friend, you can't miss fellowship 6 days a week, then come to the house of God and expect heaven to open and God pour His blessings out upon us. Oh, no, sir. He said, these things have I written unto you. That is that fellowship with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and one another will bring joy into your heart and life. Son, the promises. Joy is found. Now I'm going to say this again. I've been on it. It's obtained by godly prayer.
Amen.
Now get a hold of what John says here now. Don't nobody leave me. John 16:24. Hitherto have you asked nothing.
Amen.
In my name. I'm afraid that might be the problem. Hitherto we've asked nothing in His name. When was the last time you asked for something in His name?
Amen.
Somebody said, why, preacher? Because He stands between you and God.
Amen.
He is our intercessor,
yes,
our mediator.
Amen.
There is one God and one mediator between God and men,
yes,
the man Christ Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. So you're not going to get to God where the blessings are, son, and let you go through Him.
Amen.
Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. That may be the problem.
Amen.
You have not because you ask not. But He said, ask and you shall receive. Boy, and I'm telling you, right here is the breaker. That your joy might be full.
Amen.
Somebody said, preacher, I just don't pray and ask for joy. Shame on you. Was that Ernest T. Bass you say? No, that was that stupid queer, wasn't it? Gomer Pyle. He was talking about shamey, shamey, shamey. Y'all can laugh about that. Huh? Come on now. That your joy, ask that your joy may be full. When was the last time you got in your prayer closet and said, Lord, I'm about as low as a man can get. If I get any lower, I'm going to have to step on a stepladder just to tie my shoes, Lord. And I need a little bit of heartfelt joy. I'm not talking about something superficial where I can come to church and put on a hypocritical smile and let everybody believe that I've got what it takes.
Amen.
I'm not talking about coming to church now, folks saying, how you doing? Praise God, I'm doing great. And you know all the time that you ain't doing great, you're as discouraged as a man or a woman can get. Some of you are living there. You've done planted your little juniper tree, son, and sat down under it. You didn't even take a cruse of water and a piece of bread with you.
Amen.
But God knows where you are.
Amen.
He found Elijah, did He not find Elijah, yeah, under the juniper tree? God knows where you're living from. Man of God said in Sunday school hour this morning, He is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, and God knows where you are and what you're thinking right now. He hadn't lost you. He's got you on His radar gun. Huh? But you've done planted your own little juniper tree, some of you. And sat down under those juniper trees. When was the last time you prayed and asked God to fill you with joy? like I said, not something superficial where you'll come to church and put on a little pie smile, try to make everybody believe you're happy. When are we going to get right? When are we going to get honest with God that we might get right with God? We're not going to get right with God till we get honest with God. Tell God about everything else and then lie to Him about how we feel in our heart. That's like a lot of marriages I've come in contact with over the years. They look each other in the face and tell them how much they love them, how happy they are, and down on the inside, son, it's bad off.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? God can put joy in your marriage.
Amen.
God, I'm not just talking about something superficial. I'm talking about a calm delight and a cheerful spirit and attitude that God Almighty, through an abundant life, has to offer you in your marriage.
Amen.
When I grilled them steaks for me and Sister Hall yesterday, amen to God, having a time of my life, a loving my little wife. Got some joy over there in the house. Somebody said, oh, don't you ever have a crossword? Does a bear like honey? Cat got a climbing gear? I didn't say I was perfect, but I said we've got a little joy in our marriage. I've learned to keep the honey in the honeymoon. Some of you men are so stinking sorry you don't know a thing about putting any honey in your honeymoon. And I said, you don't know the woman I'm married to. Maybe it's because of the sorry man she's got.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, I have never seen a woman with real problems that had a spiritual man in the household.
Amen.
Come on the house, children. Now I'm going to tell you, you're talking about harmony in the house. Son, you get that real abundant joy in your heart, it'll put a little bit of harmony in your household, friend. You won't live all with a pooge mouth and a fighting and a cussing and a warring against one another. I'm talking about joy in the marriage, joy in your members, that is, in your own life. Joy at the house of God. Have you asked for it? I'm going to say this before we get in. I ain't got to the message yet. You know, your joy can be lost. Yeah, some it's lost to some of you right now. Somebody said, preacher, how do you know we ever had a joy to lose it? Because if you really believe the Bible, you've got to believe that God lifted you up out of a horrible pit.
Amen.
And put a song in your mouth.
Amen.
And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm going to tell you something, friend. You ain't never had a song. If you ain't never had a song in your heart, you have never been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm telling you, those that are brought out of the pit, God puts a song in their mouth, and a singing man is a happy man. Amen. I used to walk through that plant down there at in Greenville when I was in Bible college. And son, I'd walk around there singing Amazing Grace that saved a wretch like me. I learned that song we got down there. Oh, I want to see Him. Look upon His face. That a sang forever of His saving grace or whatever it is. I'm telling them men in there look at me like I was an absolute fool. Son, I was as happy as a hog rooting slop at the lower end of the trough of bobbing for a good apple core. Amen to God. Why, preacher? Where the joy? Because in salvation, God put a song in my heart. And a singing man is a happy man, my friend. Hallelujah. Some of you can't even sing in church. But you can lose it, and I'm afraid some of you have lost it. Come on in the house, children. Let's get honest with God today. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Answered prayers. Abundant power. Abiding joy. Do you really have it this morning? You can lose it. Somebody said, how, preacher? Sin? David committed a terrible sin with Bathsheba. And the Bible said in Psalm 51:12, in that Psalm of confession and restoration, He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restore it. I've lost my joy. I committed adultery. I have fallen into sin. Oh, we may not have fallen into adultery in the house of God, but I'm telling you, there are sins in the camp, my friend, that may not be as outwardly looked down on as adultery, but I'm telling you, the little foxes are those that are spoiling the vines in the house of God. And I'm not so sure it's not the sins of omission rather than the sins of commission. I don't think it's not really what we're doing. I'm afraid the problem is what we are failed to do. Shame on some of you sorry men. Saturday night prayer meeting and some of you men never show up for it. I love you fellas. But I'm going to tell you, our mind is not on spiritual matters. Our hearts are not stayed upon God. And I'm afraid that we've lost that joy. He said, uphold me with thy free spirit.
Amen.
Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. I wonder why it is sinners are not being saved by the grace of God today. Why we're not seeing folks added to the church. Folks, someone on the phone the other day, and they said, how's things going to church? I said, same old whole humdrum. There hadn't been a soul saved in months at the house of God.
Amen.
Most of them don't want what we claim we have because they don't see it in us, church.
Amen.
When there's joy about service, now, I'm not talking about running around all the time a gleeing and a carrying, but I'm talking about we're happy and doing what we're doing.
Amen.
I asked them fellas over there painting the house the other day. I said, do you fellas enjoy painting? I hate it. I'd rather dig a slop ditch in the paint. One of the guys said, I enjoy it to the uttermost. I said, thank God you've got a job you can enjoy. I'm going to tell you why we don't mind. Hey, a man don't mind going to work if he's doing something that he enjoys. But son, if it's something that we dislike, it is a drudgery and a dread to go out on that job every day. Amen. And the same thing it is in spiritual matters.
Yeah.
If we don't delight ourselves in the law of the Lord.
Yeah.
Delight thyselves in this book.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Meditate upon it day and night. Then thou shalt make thy way prosper. And then thou shalt have good success. Oh, that is the abundant life. When we meditated on that Bible, oh yes, it'll prosper us. When we put the Bible to work for us in our life, I tell you, that's the problem. The promises are not working for us in our life. But if you get into the book and let the promises of God work for you, let God do some things for you. Let God do some things for you.
Yes, sir.
Brother, I'll tell you, it'll change you.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
You know when Israel got happy and sang that new song when they was down there in Egypt, man, it was a terrible time. But as soon as they got on the other side of that Red Sea,
yes,
they sang Moses' song.
Amen.
And when the men got done appraising God, Miriam said, come on, ladies, I think we'll go out in the wilderness away from these men where they can't see us in our folly. And we're going to praise God a little while.
Amen.
Oh, I'm going to tell you what I'd like to see break out in here. I would, son. I'd just about cut off both my arms and legs to see it. Just to see God fall in this place.
Amen.
Some of the ladies in this place have to break loose and get out yonder in the fellowship hall, way in the back one, and bolt the door and the men. Oh, yeah, God, come upon the men around here, son.
Amen.
Well, we'd have to let the mule out of the barn a little bit.
Yeah.
Somebody said, now, preacher, it don't work that way. You shut up. You're dumber than a box of rocks.
Amen.
How well I remember 1996.
Amen.
That Jubilee in 1996, son, and wasn't I'm talking about, it was like electricity, son, and jumping from pillar to post in this place.
Amen.
And all I knew what was going on was out in this room out here. But man, lo and behold, somebody come a breaking out of that room back there and said, my God, the women's back there confessing their sin and a shouting of victory. I tell you, I had to go get it, take a look at it too. Tears was a rolling, son. Miriam and the ladies had done broke out in song of joy because their sin was confessed and their hearts was made right before God.
Amen.
And while they was out yonder in the wilderness, singing Moses' song, we was in here singing Moses' song. Now I'm going to tell you something. Somebody told me, one of the preachers told me, about this past year's Jubilee, said Brother Hall, said that's the best Jubilee you've ever had. But that man don't know everything. Outwardly, it was a good Jubilee. Best one we've ever had outwardly for other folk. But in 96, it was for Island Ford Baptist Church, son. And it done something for us in 96. So, and we need a breakout like that one more time in the house of God. Oh, yes, sir. Oh, my goodness. Then sinners will be converted. I've got to run, buddy. I ain't going to get done. I want to say not only that, but our joy is lasting. Son, it's a lasting joy. Somebody said, preacher, what you just said, that it was a never-ending joy. Oh, it is. But I said that we could lose it. You said you could lose it. I said we can lose it. But it's everlasting. It's never going to end. Let me read one. It can be interrupted, but it can never be destroyed. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Somebody said, why, preacher? Because it's His joy. Be interrupted, but never destroyed. Now listen to this verse of Scripture. John 16:22. You therefore have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man, no man, taketh from you. Jesus getting ready to go back to heaven. He said, you're full of sorrow now, but He said, there's coming a time when you will see me again. I'm going to tell you something, that ought to be enough right there to put you in a double backflip.
Yes,
that you're going to see Him again.
Yes,
we'll look upon the face of the Son. Well, somebody said, preacher, do you believe that? I've just told you that if joy was in the promises of God.
Yes,
and He said, rejoice, you'll see me again someday. Now, do we believe God?
Amen.
See, the bottom line boils down, really, we got that faith in God to believe Him for those promises?
Amen.
Now, look here. Miss Benedict was over at our house Friday. Helped Miss Hall put up that border. And I'd been outside, and that's the day you, oh, he's just left. But I believe that day Brother Stevie helped me frame around that thing over there, that laundry chute. And we got done. I went downstairs and come in, done something. And Sister Benedict said, got to go, Brother Hall. I said, how come? What you in a hurry for? She said, Billy's on the Penny Rye Parkway. Been a week more since you, 5 days since you'd seen Billy. And knowing she's going to see Billy again. Yeah, you know what I done? Oh, boy. Them big white pearly bucks, I mean, they're going, Billy's on the Penny Rye.
Amen.
Billy's on the Penny Rye. Jesus coming in clouds.
Amen.
Jesus, we going to see Him again. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Well, let me put it like this. We're going to see Him. I'm going to read a verse of Scripture on that in a minute. Seeing Him!
Amen.
You'll see me again, He said.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can you imagine what they thought when He stepped into the upper room that night? Doors being shut. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Got any meat, brethren, on the Sea of Galilee? Amen to God. No, we don't have any. Jesus said, get your backside in here where you belong. I've got meat on the fire for you.
Amen.
If we'll get where we belong, He'll have bread and fish on the fire for us, neighbor. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Now, where do we find this joy? I've got 5 points. I ain't got the message yet. See what time it is. 12:30. One. I'll try to be done with 10 till. Maybe sooner than that. Where do we find this joy? 5 things. Our joy in our salvation.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
Amen.
I mean, friend, it ought to rejoice us just because we're saved.
Yes.
My goodness.
Yes,
I guarantee you, some of you in here get like old Leonard Kaplan laying over there with his foot cut off and getting ready to lose a leg. And that old disease eating away at the body. Somebody said, oh, but preacher, I don't have that. I've got news for you, dummy. There's a far, far greater disease than diabetes eating away in all of our bodies. And it's called sin. And it's going to kill this body. Are you listening to me? It's going to kill this body. You've got the disease of sin eating in your body. Son, I am older than I used to be. My body is weaker than I used to be. I'm not the man that I used to be because of sin in this body. But oh, for those that have been saved. I am waiting for God's Son from heaven who shall change my vile body and give me a glorious body like His. Hallelujah. Join in the salvation.
Yeah.
Listen what Brother Peter says. Peter 4:13, but rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings.
Yeah.
Somebody said, I'm not a partaker of His sufferings. You are if you're saved by the grace of God. You have been made a partaker of His sufferings. And by the way, He is filling up His sufferings in the church.
Yeah.
Read your Bible.
Amen.
That's right. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, sir, we're partakers of the sufferings of Christ. It says that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy. You can, hey, jump with joy. Jump with joy when you see it. Somebody said, oh, preacher, that's then. Oh, but praise God, the promises for now. And if we can rejoice then, surely we can rejoice on the promises of God. Who by two immutable things made it impossible, my friend, for God to lie to us. Do you believe God this morning? I didn't feel like preaching when I got up here, but I feel like detaining you all day. Some of you still ain't smiling. Most of you have. You're doing better.
Amen.
Joy in the cross. Oh, at the cross. At the cross. That's salvation.
Amen.
Where I first saw the light. Praise His wonderful name.
Amen.
I can joy in Calvary. Amen. That He tasted death for every man. That He that knew no sin was made to be sin. Amen. That His body became the perfect sacrifice. That He became the darling Lamb of God without spot and without blemish. Died on Calvary's cross. I can joy in His conforming us as sinners. Partakers. It said partakers. Not just the sufferings, but partakers of His sufferings. He's conforming us, friend. How? If through sufferings the captain of our salvation learned obedience, do you think we're going to learn it any other way? Read the book of Hebrews. Through the things He suffered, though He were a son, through the things that He suffered, He learned obedience. And I'm going to tell you something, neighbor. If we're going to be conformed to His image, we're going to learn to be obedient through the things that we suffer.
Amen.
Oh, that is exactly right. And somebody said, well, preacher, how can we be happy and suffer? You're being made like Him!
Amen.
Being made conformable unto His death! My God, what should make us any happier? Now get this, and I'm not, God forbid that I'm disgracing God in any way, but what should make us happier than to know we're going to be like God?
Amen.
Eternal beings.
Amen.
Can you get a hold of that this morning? That as a Christian, you're an eternal being?
Yes.
That your life shall never end. Somebody said, oh, I've been to too many graveyards. Oh, yes, but though we were dead, yet shall we live.
Amen.
Yeah. Son, it's real to Brother Hall now. You can sit and die on God if you want to, but I'm telling you, it's real on Brother Hall. And joy in the consummation. When His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. That is to jump for joy. Come on now, and I'm fixing it. Come on, this one's going to sting a little bit. Joy in serving Him.
Amen.
Listen now, don't get mad at Brother Hall. Hebrews 13:17.
obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they must give an account. Now, if I understand what Paul's saying there, he's saying that you ought to obey the man of God that he's put over you in the preaching. I'm not talking about bowing down to me. I don't want nobody to bow. No. But you need to obey what he preaches from this book. And I'm going to show you why in just a minute. And submit to what he preaches from this book. Why? For he watches. I watch for your soul. There's not a day goes by. If I'm the man of God that ought to be, just like Aaron bore of the 12 tribes in the breastplate, I must bear your names upon my heart. As I knelt and prayed right there last night, in my mind, I went around this room at every one of you, every child. I prayed for you and your children and your family. Why? Because I bear you on my heart. I've got you on my heart. And I'm going to tell you something else. He goes on to say, as they must give an account. I've got to give an account to God for you. Do you know that? I've got to watch and I've got to give God an account. And here's what Brother Paul said. I've got to give God an account. I've got to watch your soul that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Do you realize there's nothing that brings any more grief to a man of God than to see a rebellious attitude and a dead spirit in the house of God? Disobedient children, stiff-necked, stout-hearted. Nothing any more distressing. Nothing that deprives a man of God of his joy any more than to preach and to give his life for preaching and see very little effect. And I say this in love. But I thought of my pastor. Preached for 49 years. 49 years. Pastored the same church for 25 years and 8 months. And started it from the ground in an old airplane hangar with old airplane engines and grease all over the floors and the roof leaking. I was there one Thursday evening on visitation. It come a rain, come a hard rain. Back in 1979, it come a big hard rain. And I'm not lying, we had 14 trash cans in his office trying to catch the water. And you know what? He's got left out all of it. When he left Bible Baptist, they gave him a gold watch that they paid about $50 for downtown. And I was over there preaching for him the other week, and I'm telling you, my heart broke. I was standing there trying to preach, and there was 11 or 12 people sitting there, and I thought, is that 49 years of preaching? And that crowd setting up the road? Rebellious and stiff-necked on God. Refused to obey the gospel. There's a man of God laboring. What about poor old Noah? Labored for 120 years and got his family on. That they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. I'm going to tell you, I'm just being honest with you. And we may not even come back to church tonight. I don't know. Ain't nothing grieves me anymore to come in here on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. And we're just like, bless God. We're still hanging out over hell. Huh? I'm going to tell you what I see in that. I see harmony in the brotherhood. And harmony breeds happiness amongst God's people. Then I want to say thirdly, not only joy and salvation, joy and servant, but joy for strength. When Nehemiah was building that wall around Jerusalem, in chapter 8 and verse number 10, he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For the day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Strength means a fortified place or a defense. I want to ask you, what's the opposite of joy? What did I write in the bulletin? Did you know that discouragement is the greatest enemy that joy has? Sanballat and his crowd been trying to discourage the work of God. And old Nehemiah said, hey, the joy of the Lord is your strength. They built that wall because they had joy in their heart. That's right. They built the wall. They overcome great opposition in rebuilding that wall because they had some joy in their heart. Now, I'm going to tell you why some of you ain't going to make it. The joy of the Lord's not there, brethren.
I've watched some of you now for a long time, and the joy of the Lord is not there.
Amen.
People start laying out of church and missing. There's no joy there.
Amen.
And you're weak. I'm on her in close, trying to. I want to say there ought to be some joy in singing, and this is going to hurt at some of you, and shouting.
Amen.
Well, preacher, I don't like to sing and shout, especially the shout. But I'm going to tell you what Ezra said. Ezra said in Ezra 3:11-12, when they was rebuilding the foundation of the temple, and they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good, for His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout.
Amen.
Oh, Brother Hall, I don't believe in shouting. Then tell God that.
Amen.
When they saw something accomplished for God, they shouted with a great shout.
Amen.
When that wall, that foundation was laid. We can accomplish things around here, and folks say it with a grain of salt. Are you listening? Because of, they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and the Levites and the chief of the fathers who were ancient that had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, they wept with a loud voice and they shouted aloud for joy.
Amen.
Does it make you happy when we overcome on marathons? Ever feel like shouting when Brother Hall is back there in them two pictures and one of them's got his hair sticking up on the edge and the bill box is that deep and we have a marathon and God sends in the money?
Amen.
And I've been back there before and shouted all over that little room and some of you just sat there.
Right.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, friend. When God does something good for us, it ought to bring enough joy seeing God work on our behalf. Who was it? Who was it said the other day? Was it you telling me about somebody that said they couldn't? Oh, Ed Thomas, our engineer is a Catholic. I want you to listen now, what I'm telling you. He is a Catholic. And he told Brother Bell not long ago, he said, Doug, he said, I'm going to be honest with you. He said, God has got to be in this radio station.
Amen.
He said, I'm your engineer. And he said, I've seen things here run that ought to be dead.
Amen.
And I've seen things work that ought not to even be working now.
Amen.
And I've seen things hang together when there is nothing for them to hang together with.
Amen.
What if I told some of you right now that we had a hard drive to crash just Friday and lost 800 songs on our computer? Thank God we got them backed up. We're sitting in there. I was getting ready to go home, Brother Steve said, uh-oh, look at it, look. And I looked at the computer, and it was changing colors. The screen was a changing colors. The timer, one of them little timer things quit. He said, it's got a short, something wrong. It may be getting ready to go. And we thought the fan had quit blowing. Got down there looking at it, moved it. And guess what? He moved it over, and we looked, moved it back, and it come right back on, went to working again. That's God, friend. Huh? I done brought out, I thought it was that little fan in the back of it. I brought out that big fan. Mr. Ruth said, you done brought out the big artillery, ain't you, preacher? I'm going to turn the air on it, boy. But I didn't realize it already had a breath of air from another world. I'm telling you, we ought to rejoice when God accomplishes great things in our midst. And some of us are so dumb and ignorant, we don't even realize it when God does something.
Amen.
They shouted aloud for joy. Joy in accomplishments because the foundation of the house was laid. Now listen, now the earlier temple built by Solomon was much more glorious than this one. And some of the old priests wept because they remembered. But the young folks had had no memory of the old one. And all of its glory and magnificence, they shouted to victory. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm getting sick and tired. Now listen, man. I'm getting sick and tired of preachers and people getting up and saying,
Boy, we don't have it like it was in the old days. If it was like it was in Moody's Day, what in God's name do they know about Moody's Day? They ain't done nothing but read what somebody wrote in a book. The young men shouted about what was going on in their day. What they saw God do. And I'm telling you, son, God don't have to do but just a little bit to stir me up. We all, that's right. We did not see the Welsh revival and other great moves of God and see God accomplish great things. But son, what we have done is seen God not only sustain a little ministry, but move it forward. I stood right here beside Ed Whitfield. Right about here, Mr. Whitfield stood. He looked around this little old room and he said, "Preacher," I said, "how many people do you have?" I said, "About 50. He said, "What is your budget?" I said, at the time, I said, "It's about $250,000 a year." He said, "How do you make it?" I said, "God."
Amen.
What a testimony to that congressman.
Amen.
And we're part of it.
Amen.
I'm closing with this. I want to say lastly, we ought to joy in our Savior.
Amen.
Woo. Just rejoice in Jesus. He said in 1 Peter 1:8, I get this now, listen. Whom having not seen,
Amen.
You love.
Amen.
In whom though now you see Him not, yet believing. You don't see Him. Yet believing. Just in believing. There's the promises. Just in believing. Get this now.
Amen.
You rejoice with joy unspeakable.
Amen.
Full of glory. When was the last time you rejoiced over the Lord Jesus?
Amen.
Huh? Let's stand together. Sorry I kept you so long, but I just... seemed to take a little longer than I thought. About an hour. Have you asked Him for joy? Have you asked Him to make your family and your home happy? I mean, quit necessarily praying. I'm not saying quit praying about the problems that we're having. But if you, on top of them, just ask God to make, if He makes it happy, He'll have to remove the problem to do it. Is that right or not? If there's troubles at home, troubles in the marriage, and they're depriving you of your joy, if you can remove the problem, the joy will come. That's where joy comes from. Removing difficulties and problems and heartaches in our lives. That's why when His glory is revealed, we can rejoice with exceeding joy, jump for joy, because all the troubles are going to be gone. All of them. All of them. Father, I thank You for the morning hour. I pray You'll take what was said from these stammering lips of clay. God, You'd bless Your people. Fill us with the joy of our salvation, the joy of the Lord. Help us, oh God, to get a hold of these great promises. And to experience the abundant life that You've come to give every old sinner that'll call upon Your blessed name. Thank You again for this morning. Save sinners. Do a work. I thank You for what You've already done in the house of God. Thank You, Lord, for sustaining this ministry. Keeping us afloat. Sustaining us through these years. Bless coming days next week as we raise some money Monday and Tuesday and await, Lord, the mother-daughter banquet starting on the 8th. Bless it, the preaching. Bless our ladies. In Jesus' name, amen. I think we'll just let Miss Hall play that this morning. If you need to do business with God, you can do it. Have you asked Him for that joy?
Do you really have it at home? The only time you smile at church. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Abundant life. I've come that they might have life. And that they might have it more abundantly. I hope I didn't keep you too long. And I hope I said something that will stir your heart for Jesus.